Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Sheila Zielinski Show. I've got a great guest. Hey, before I jump into the program, please do make sure that you are following me on social media. All the information is up there on your screen. Sheila Zielinski on Instagram at Real Sheila Z on Twitter and Real Sheila Z on Facebook. And make sure that you are subscribed to my YouTube channel. But as a backup, please, because you know I'm having a lot of issues uploading to YouTube, getting strikes, violating community guidelines constantly. I'm under the watchful eye of YouTube, so I kind of have a love-hate relationship with YouTube. So I'm really hoping that you will go right now and subscribe to me on Spreaker. It's up on your screen. The link is below in the description. Make sure to subscribe to me on Spreaker because eventually I'm moving all my stuff over to Spreaker. And it's a great podcast platform. And I am also now on Spotify as well. So that's another option. The new website launches next week. So I'm very excited. A lot of people are emailing me and saying, hey, I'm clicking on your website and it's taking me to a congratulations, you're the 5,000th winner. Yes, my website has been hacked. And so I'm hoping a week from today, the new site launches. So I'm very excited about that. And finally, this broadcast is 100% listener supported. It's commercial free, no advertising, no interruptions. And I would very much appreciate it if you would consider getting behind this ministry. You've asked for it, and we've made a lot of really easy ways to support this ministry, including Cash App, Venmo, Zelle, and of course, PayPal. And you can also send a check or money order to Sheila Zielinski Ministries, P.O. Box 396, Woodland Hills, California, 91365. Your support is greatly appreciated, and I would like to thank all my faithful supporters. Please know that we pray for all our faithful supporters, and I want to just say thank you to the ones that do support this ministry. Well, I want to introduce my guest. He's a good friend of the program from GodIsNotReligious.net. It is Dr. Danny Moreno. Danny, welcome back to the program. It is great to have you on.
Thank you, Sheila. Great to be back with you.
Well, you came back to some craziness. Of course, we're going to get into some of that. But where I want to start off the hopper is we're all very excited to hear about your missions trip to India. So I'm going to hand you the mic and get into that for us.
Well, I have to tell you, Sheila, it's been a couple of weeks since I've been back already, and I am still buzzing. I'm still buzzing from all the wonderful things that our Lord did on this last apostolic mission. He far exceeded my expectations. As you know, I think I shared before I went that we've already been setting up Bible schools, both in India and Pakistan. So I'm not just going to India, but I'm going to their neighbor, which has really kind of been historically their foe. But I have the opportunity to go to both sides of those borders and go to wonderful Christian brothers and sisters on each side of the border. And we're just excited about the ministry that's going forth. For India, I have a much longer history with India. I started going to India over 25 years ago. The Lord opened the door already in my 20s to go there and start ministering. But there were gaps in between the times that I went. I went several times over the last couple decades. But we've been gone for the last 2 years on a regular basis. And we went back again. This time we went to a major city there called Visakhapatnam, which has millions of people in it. We started a Bible school there. We have over 100 pastors and their wives enrolled in that Bible school, which I think is incredible. And they want to come back and get into the next class of the Bible school. It's just been going incredibly. They're taking on the apostolic teaching. They're excited about it. They're teaching it to their congregations, and their congregations are growing. We've had wonderful testimonies. Not only are the people excited and growing in their faith, but it's actually causing these fellowships to grow in number because the people are hearing something new, the real gospel. So it's very exciting. We had that going on. We also did, of course, as always, large crusades. We had healing crusades, and we saw great miracles happen. God is always faithful to show up, to see many healings, deliverances. If your folks want to take a look at some of the footage, I'd invite them to go both onto my YouTube channel, God Is Not Religious, and my Facebook page, God Is Not Religious, and you'll see many videos there of my time in Pakistan and India, both in the Crusades and in the pastors' conferences. And also, you'll see footage of the ministry time where the Holy Spirit moved very powerfully. You'll see deliverance live on film. You'll see people being touched by the Holy Spirit and healed and so on. So it was very, very powerful, both in India and Pakistan. We went to the tribal peoples in India. This was exciting. And they're just on fire, Sheila. They're just on fire for the word of the Lord. There wasn't room enough in our pastor's section for all the pastors who wanted to come and hear the word. So many pastors came, we couldn't fit them up on the dais. They had to sit with the people. But they were all excited, and we're just excited about everything that's happening there. And another Bible school is going to start in the beginning of April in another major city, Guntur. I've also been invited in June to go to a gigantic city. Some of your folks may have heard about it. It's one of the biggest cities in India. It's called Hyderabad. It has one of the biggest international airports to do, again, healing crusades, pastors' conferences, and starting up, again, Bible school for the leaders. This is the most exciting aspect of it, Sheila, is that the leaders are the most excited about things. And this is pivotal because it's wonderful to reach the people and bless the people. But if you can reach the leaders and the leaders really take on this new wine and they start sharing it with the people, then this apostolic message and impartation is going to spread like wildfire. And this is what we see happening over all the time. I can't keep up with the requests right now. All the requests that are coming in from leaders of pastors in different regions that want me to come and teach their pastors. You know, like, I have 100 pastors here. Please come and be and teach us. That's the part that really surprised me. As you know, Sheila, you know, been walking with me in this for the last 6 years or so. You know, it's been very disappointing on over here on this side of the world when it comes to get leaders to, you know, embrace this apostolic message. So I was totally surprised on the other side of the world, the incredible response that I'm getting from the leaders. So that's going on in India and then also in Pakistan, which is a totally grassroots project that we started from a grassroots level with young men. I have this little soldier, Pastor Daud Parvez. He's only about 23 years old, and this young man is just an incredible spiritual leader. At a young age, he's got a bunch of young men. I call them my Pakistani posse. They're also very, very serious about the Lord and about the ministry. And I'm also excited about the leaders there who have not only come to be instructed through the Bible school that we started there, but they've actually taken on my message to the point that they want to teach the Bible school. And the pastors, of course, I went around and preached in different areas, so the pastors want Bible schools in their regions. So now this thing is spreading out in a true apostolic way beyond me, even, where they are going to go out and use the materials that I've given them, my books and so on, and they're going to go and start teaching. So we're very excited. We have my book, The Sinner's Prayer Gospel, translated already into their language in Pakistan, and we're working on the second book that's going to be translated into their language, and I'm just so, so excited about it. And of course, in Pakistan, again, we had great meetings, we saw great healings, we saw deliverance. It's just exploding there. We're going to start a TV channel there, the Ecclesia TV station. We're starting our own station there, and we're going to be putting out the teaching and the video footage of the Crusades and stuff out over that TV station. And in India, we're already on television in two cities, in those two cities that I mentioned, Visakhapatnam and Guntur, and we've gotten great testimonies back from that. People just watching the program are getting healed. Miraculous healings coming back to the pastors that are running that for me, that there are people are just watching the television and they're getting healed. So we're very, very excited about it. Things are just blowing wide open. I'm just asking the Lord to provide for the opportunities. There's no lack of open door. There's no lack of opportunity to preach to thousands and perhaps millions of people, and also to train hundreds, if not thousands, of Christian pastors and leaders. I mean, this is unprecedented. I'm just so excited. The only thing we need to be able to do these things, of course, is the funding for me to be able to do these trips and pay for these crusades and pay for these campaigns, so that we're believing for that. Also, something exciting is that the nation, another Muslim nation, the Muslim nation of Dubai has opened up to me. And I've been invited to come in June to Dubai to preach to several Christian congregations. Same template. This template, I believe the Holy Spirit is all over this template. Reaching the leaders first, training them, setting up Bible school, and then also teaching them by example how to minister to the people. First of all, with true apostolic doctrine, and secondly, true Holy Spirit ministry. In the real gifts of the Holy Spirit, the power of God, you know, the working of miracles, signs and wonders, the gift of faith, and the gifts of healings, and so on and so forth. So we're very, very excited. I can't wait to see what God's going to do next. And, you know, I'll be honest, I could spend the rest of my life right there and probably hardly make a dent. I mean, we're talking about a part of the world, Sheila, where there are 3 billion people, and less than 1% of those 3 billion people ascribe to any type of Christianity whatsoever. So it's a wide open harvest field with a median age of 25 years old. The median age in, you know, Western Europe, for instance, and in the United States of America and Canada, it's around 50, 55 years old. These are people that have already made their decision a long time ago, pretty much about what they believe, about what they're going to do with their lives, how far they're going to go in their spirituality. They're really on the descent overall. I'm not saying they're not exceptions. There are exceptions, but they're few and far between. But when you're preaching to a populace where the median age is 25 years old, these people have their whole lives ahead of them. And if they make a radical decision and have a true, incredible, supernatural encounter with Jesus Christ, they'll give their whole lives to this, and they got their whole life in front of them. They haven't even chosen, most of them have not even chosen what they're going to do as their vocation for the rest of their lives. Many of them may end up going completely into the ministry full time. So I'm just, I'm elated, Sheila.
Well, that's a really good report, because I know there's such dear brothers over in India, and they're very hungry. And I think there's a big difference from the West, obviously, when you look at the East. These men are very, very hungry for the word. And yet it's a kind of a sad thing. You know, we look at all this COVID craziness, and one of the things that really, I guess it shocked me in a way, Danny, but it really didn't. I posted something on Facebook and I said, you know, thank God the apostles didn't shut down the book of Acts over leprosy. I actually saw this post, healing school shut down due to virus. I mean, honestly, today's counterfeit church, don't you think, Danny, should absolutely just hang their head in shame? It's just such a counterfeit church. And that's where the true ecclesia really needs to be rising up in this time, because, you know, we can't depend on the church. That's become clear, hasn't it?
Well, I have to say that I saw your post and I thought it was great. And I just want to compliment you on the shows you've done exposing, you know, the deep witchcraft and things that are going on in the counterfeit church system that are even beyond, you know, the practical outworking of heresy. I mean, you got into the deep occult roots and programming and mind control, and you just done a fantastic job on that. And I would tell people to listen to those programs if they haven't heard them. Yes, and the things that we've been preaching about, and specifically I've been shouting from the rooftops for the last 6 years or so in my ministry, I've been telling people in the last year or two, listen, this is not only a spiritual phenomenon. You know, when I'm preaching to you from Revelation 18:4, where the angel is crying out to the true people of Christ to come out of this church, this enchantress, this sorceress named Pharmakia, named Kiaka, which is the daughter of the sun god Helios, the sun god Baal. The call goes forth, come out of her, my people, and be not partaker of her sins. And listen to this part. Very, very interesting for right now. He says, come out of her, my people, be not partaker of her sins. And listen to this. And receive not of her plagues. The whore rides the beast and is married to the beast. And the beast's program, beast of Revelation, Revelation 13, who comes up out of the abyss, who's manifested in the book of Revelation with 10 kings or kingdoms that will rule the earth at the very end of time, who are given power and authority to rule one hour with the beast on the earth. And they all have one common policy, all right? There's your New World Order or whatever we want to call it, you know, the one world government, the one world church. They're given 1 hour to rule with the beast. You know, this is a practical thing, too. When I've been crying out, come out of her, I've been saying this is going to take a literal manifestation. And for many years, people probably just blew me off and thought, oh, this guy is extreme. What's he talking about? As the scripture prophesies, where's the sign of his coming? You know, the world has gone on the same since the beginning. Nothing has changed. Where is the sign of his coming, right? The mockers the scripture talks about. And I think a lot of Americans and other Westerners have probably said the same thing when they've heard me shouting this from the housetops about come out of the church, the wicked sorceress, the counterfeit Christian empire on earth that is not the body of Christ, the, as you mentioned, the ecclesia, the gathering together of the called out ones, which is a spiritual people, an invisible nation that only Christ is aware exactly of who belongs to that nation and who does not. People have thought, oh, you know, I don't see any difference. I see a lot of good Christians in the church. I see people who really love the Lord in the church. But look what has happened now. Look what has happened now. This thing has taken on a tangible, practical form in the sense of a division. The house on the sand, which I call the church, is the house built on the sand. Jesus talked about two houses. He's talked about the house built on the rock, which of course we know is himself, his true person, his true revelation. He said, upon this rock, I will build my ecclesia. But Kirka is the name of a wicked enchantress and goddess who held a cup full of witchcraft, bewitching, inducing liquid or substance in which she bewitched the kings of the earth and turned them into animals. So John was not just pulling this out of the air in Revelation, people. He was talking about something that the people were very, very aware of. And in fact, according to historical precedent, the Isle of Patmos, where John was being held captive, he looked across to the island of the Galapagos, where apparently, according to legend, the sorceress Pharmakia was buried. And Pharmakia is that sorceress Kirka who carried the golden cup with that bewitching brew. In Revelation 17, we're told about a woman who rides on a scarlet beast. She's all dressed in scarlet. She has blasphemies. On her forehead is written an abomination, Mystery Babylon, the mother of whores or harlots. And I believe that this is speaking of the church system. This is Kirka. We have the word pharmakia, which also we know stands for not only sorcery, but stands for drugs. That's we have pharmaceutical. Pharmacy comes from the Greek word pharmakia. Well, when you look up the Greek word pharmakia, this has to do with sorcery. So look at all the bewitching that's going on. Look in the church. How many pharmakia addicts do we have filling the church buildings, even the church pulpits? Huh? How many prescription drug junkies are in the pulpits and in the congregations of the kiaka, the circus, the church? All right? So these things are also taking literal, tangible form. And now this church has fallen. The storm has come and the church has fallen. And I've been preaching this for years, that the doors of these churches will be closed in a way that we would never expect. And I have to be honest, I would have never guessed that this would be the vehicle, that a psyops, a psychological war on people's minds would be the way that the doors of the churches would be closed. You know, Sheila, we've been preaching this for years, and we've been always envisioning kind of a crackdown, you know, like an old Marxist communist type crackdown on the churches, where the, you know, the National Guard or the United Nations Army or whatever shows up at the churches and rounds the people up and locks the, you know, the church doors down with you know, big iron padlocks and so on, and shuts the churches down. But look at this. The churches have shut themselves down. Satan didn't even have to fire a physical shot. Not one bullet had to be fired to shut these churches down. A psychological, as you've been preaching in your programs, brainwashing, mind control, a mass mind control over the people, conditioning them to lock themselves away in their homes, lock themselves out of their church buildings, lock themselves away in their homes, social distance themselves from people. How are they going to lay hands on people if they can't get within 10 feet of people? I went into Staples the other day to exchange some print color for my printer, and I wanted this girl to look, you know, help me find the right box of print cartridges, and this girl would not get within 10 feet of me. She was trying to read the cartridge numbers from 10 feet away. And I said, it's okay, I don't have anything. And she said, well, how do I know what you have? And she was totally flipping out. I said, you know what, forget it. Don't worry about it. I'll find it myself. In a matter of days, Satan shut down the whole society, shut down the whole church, shut down the whole world. I've been surprised myself at how quickly and easily this thing has happened. And if you people think that this thing is going to ever return back to normal the way it used to be, you're deluding yourselves, because we're used to that. We're used to, oh, well, this will blow over and then, you know, we'll be back to normal. With each one of these psyops intrigues, each one of these 9/11 false flags that they pull off, they institute into society permanent fixtures. And they also condition the minds of people to be more compliant and obedient to the will of the beast and the false prophet and the dragon. So things will never be the same, people. So where are we now? If your faith was based on going to that building, I'm watching pastors and leaders, you know, and a lot of our prosperity pimps and so, they're freaking out. They know they're losing money. They know, oh my God, what's going to happen? These people, if they can't come to the show, are they going to pay for the ticket? Are they really going to tithe and sow their seed from home? Really? Just because I get on the internet now and I say we're still having church, it's not the same, folks. It's not the same. I have to be honest that I've been praying and preaching for several years for God's judgment on these houses of heresy, okay? And I believe that God is involved in this judgment. Yes, I do believe it's a judgment of God. And I know that most Christian leaders out here today are afraid to say these things. They're such sissies that they're afraid to say what the Word of God says. This is God's judgment. It's God using Satan, and is Satan and Satan and his people implementing the machinations and the mechanisms to bring this about? Yes, but the Scripture says God sends them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. I mean, look at how people are acting. Look at how people are acting.
They just seem to be shrugging their shoulders, giving up all their God-given rights. What's that all about, though? Really, I mean, at the same token, you've got tanks and MRAPs rolling into cities. You've got everything on lockdown. And since when do we just give up our God-given rights and we don't bat an eye? That's what's got me a bit concerned, Danny.
Well, you got to understand the complete psyop that's going on. I mean, if you look at the way that these architects, these social engineers, okay, these servants of the grand architect of Freemasonry and Illuminism and so on, that are really running things, okay, if we have our eyes open. Look at the game they've played. They set up a Constantine that Christians are basically worshiping, a large segment of the Christian church have been worshiping this man. And again, I want to make this clear, because right away you're going to get a bunch of hate email about how I hate Trump and how I'm demonizing Trump. No, Trump is not the issue. I have no issue with the president, Donald Trump. That's not the point. The point is the game behind it. Regardless of his personal motivations, regardless of his personal heart and intention and so on and so forth, that's not the point. The point is the game that's played is that you got a bunch of the most influential, powerful, and rich part of the Christian community all caught up with the king they can see. We want a king like other nations. Okay, so they've had a king like other nations, a king that they could see, a king that they see as the mediator of the will of God on earth, especially for Americans and the state of Israel, in the White House. So they've become completely submissive, completely obedient, completely devoted, and they have their allegiance and loyalty given to the government of the United States of America. So they are going to comply with whatever the government says. And no matter how much Trump may appear to be or really be with certain sections of the media is running people's minds. Even the conservative, Christian, right-wing, Republican, gun-toting, flag-waving, Bible-thumping Christians are ruled by the media. The news is their Bible. I've been preaching this for 7 years at least. The news is their Bible. They're glued to either social media with all the news, or they're glued to their TV, Fox News, MSNBC, whatever conservative thing they're listening to, or their favorite radio personalities that are supposedly conservative, cultural Christians, Republicans, and so on and so forth. They're ruled by that false prophet. Remember that it's the false prophet in Revelation who demands all peoples all over the world to receive the mark of the beast, to bow to the image of the beast and worship the image of the beast, and to receive the mark of the beast in their forehead or in their right hand. The beast himself does not set forth the command for this to happen. It's the false prophet who commands an image of the beast to be formed. And it's the false prophet who breathes life into the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should speak and command that all men everywhere from all races, cultures, languages, tongues, nations, so on and so forth, that they should bow to the image of the beast and they should receive his mark in their forehead or their right hand. So people have been conditioned to follow the leader, the Pied Piper. And the Pied Piper has come in the form of this aberration that masquerades as the Ecclesia of God, the church, the whore of Babylon, the sorceress, Kiaka, Pharmakia, the daughter of the sun god Baal. She is speaking for Father State and drawing all men to Father State to submit to Father State. And I believe that these church doors may very well open again, but I believe that we're going to have a state church, just like the Chinese have had for many, many, many decades, just like the old Soviet Union used to have, a state church, a church totally in submission to the will and the agenda and the propaganda of the state machinery. That's the only breast they know how to feed off of. They're going to follow that. And maybe as far as into the FEMA concentration camps, just like it happened in World War II under the Nazis. So that's what I see. And that's why the Holy Spirit has had me calling true disciples of Jesus of Nazareth out of this wicked sorceress whore called the church for the last however many years. Because if you can't stand in your faith now, and if you don't have a relationship with the real Christ through the real Holy Spirit and Word of God now, without any props, okay, without any mediators, and your pastor's not there, your praise and worship team's not there, your fellow believers, supposed believers, are not there next to you singing and clapping and speaking in tongues with you, and you got to walk this thing out in the wilderness of reality, then this is where our true faith, you know, the quality of our true faith is tested. That's my position.
And, of course, we saw this really interesting opinion piece from New York Times. The road to coronavirus hell was paved by evangelicals. Did you see
yes.
that?
Yes. Yes, I did. The evangelicanes, as my precious brother, Portuguese brother, Jose Palinhas from Demolishing Strongholds always calls them the evangelicanes. They have. They coronated this king. They were, you know, the big force in getting this Constantine into office. And so now they have been the influence, and that is the cultural Christianity. And I want you Christians to really hear me. I want you to hear me, and I want you to understand what this president embraces and what he's standing for. He's standing for the religion of Christianity. He's standing for the institution of Christendom, the Christian empire, the empire of Christ on earth, okay? He recognizes all forms of the Christian church, which, again, he's the secular ruler. An emperor always wants to consolidate his empire. That's what Constantine wanted to do when he began to decree and send forth the edict that the Roman Empire would become a Christian empire. We would say today a Christian nation. He wanted to consolidate all the people under one religious banner, okay? So you have to understand that when, you know, President Trump, and again, I'm not looking into the deep caverns of his heart and judging every motive that he has. So, you know, grow up and hear me on a somewhat intellectual level if you can. This is the way it works in the world. That is what he has to do. He's not running a Christian church. He's running an amoral nation. What does amoral mean? It means it's neutral. As the leader of a nation, a secular nation, he has to give freedom to all men. He can't favor or show partiality to one particular religious group and give them precedence and benefit over the rest of society. That's not fair. God would not even agree with that. You understand? God has not created the secular world to be a Christian world. And this is what Christians in America particularly do not understand. This is why I've been preaching about the mixture for all these years. I've been preaching that Jesus said his kingdom is not of this world. And Jesus in his last prayer in John 17, go and read it. When he's praying his last prayer before he's about to be taken to be crucified, he says, Father, I do not pray for the world, but I pray for those whom you have given me out of the world and for those who will come to you because of their word. That was the ecclesia. Jesus did not come to change the world, people. And Jesus did not even come to pray for the world. Jesus did not come to start a new religion called Christianity. He did not come to start a new world culture called Christendom. In other words, an empire of Christ on the earth. He did not come to start a new religious institution called Christianity and called the church. He didn't come to do any of these things. He didn't come to be the God of people who call themselves Christians. Jesus is the eternal Son of Man. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, the same was in the beginning with God. And the Word, the eternal Son of Man, became flesh and came for all men, to call all men, regardless of what nation, regardless of what culture, regardless of what civilization, regardless of what race or religion they come from. Jesus is the Lord of all creation. That's why the scripture tells us in Colossians and Ephesians and different parts of the New Testament, it was in him and by him and through him that the worlds were created. Nothing was created without coming through Christ. He is the word of the Lord that spoke and said, "Let there be," for everything that was created. So he is, the eternal Son of Man is the Lord of creation, and he has come for all men. And Jesus did not come to create any of those things that I just talked about. What did he come to create? He came to create a new supernatural eternal race. That's what he came to create. And his kingdom is in the spirit, and he calls men in the spirit to become part of that eternal, supernatural, spiritual, born again, Holy Spirit inhabited race. That's what he has come to accomplish. So, we are the body of Christ. We are the temple of the Lord. The Apostle Paul says, don't you know that you are the temple of God, the temple of the Lord, and that the Holy Spirit dwells in you? We are his body. We are the container for the presence of God, not a church building, not an institution or a religion called Christianity or Christendom. No. And now the Lord has given you an opportunity, people, to finally see the difference. Because if you're believing in that kingdom of buildings and institutions, you got a problem right now, don't you? You can't even get in there. It's shut down. How could something that's really the kingdom of God, something that's really of Christ's creation, something that he created and birthed, how could it be shut down by a damn virus? Wake up, people. Wake up. The real kingdom of Christ, the real structure of the ecclesia, the ekonoia, is in the spirit. 1 Peter chapter 2, we are a spiritual house. Christ is the living stone. And we are the living stones built up upon him to form a spiritual house. We are an invisible nation. So the call continues to go out because many of you are longing to go back to church, back to the whore. The call goes out. Come out of her, my people. Be not partakers of her sins and receive not of her plagues. Those of you that are afraid of this plague, be it real, be it not, I could care less. It doesn't really matter. The plague is actually spiritual. It's a psyop. It's a mind game. It's a delusion. Okay, whether they injected, whether Bill Gates and Bill Clinton and some of these other wicked Luciferians actually injected some type of virus into vaccines and into people in certain regions of the world, it really is not the issue, because that is not everywhere, but yet it's affecting everyone. I do not know one person. And I don't even know a person who knows a person who knows a person who has this thing. Okay? And many others would testify of the same thing. So this is many layers removed from most people, but yet they're mind slaves and they're in bondage to this edict that has gone out that has enslaved the whole world. And this is the way Revelation is showing its ugly head. It's time for a reality check. It's time for you to find out, and this is not a condemnation or a judgment. This is an appeal from heaven. It's time for you to find out, as the Apostle Paul said, examine yourselves whether you really be in the faith. This is a time for you to get in the Word of God, to really get on your face before the Lord, to make sure that you are truly inhabited by the Holy Spirit. You know, most Christians and even leaders, I still hear them preaching that when you say the sinner's prayer and you accept Jesus as your Lord, that you have the Holy Spirit. This is heresy. The scripture tells us clearly that receiving the Holy Spirit is a subsequent experience. Acts chapter 2, the Holy Spirit has to literally come and take up residence inside of you. And when he does, it's evidence with supernatural evidence. Yes, of speaking in tongues and prophesying and other supernatural evidence. It's time for you to take that thermometer. People are walking around. I think you are supposed to, when you fly now, you have to carry a heat thermometer to take your temperature, right? Well, take your spiritual temperature and get before the Lord and ask the Lord, Lord, am I really in the true faith of Christ? Do I have the real Christ? Am I one that has created a Jesus in my own image? Or am I truly in fellowship with and following the Christ of Scripture? Have I come out of the whore? Have I come out of the false satanic system posing as the body of Christ called the church? And am I really a member of the spiritual, supernatural race and invisible nation of God, the ecclesia, the ekonoia, the living organism that Christ said he is building? Am I part of that? So I would encourage you to really take your temperature spiritually. Look at the teaching that you've been under. Look at your leaders. If you've been under leaders in churches and ministries that have shut down because the beast said it's time to shut down, that are freaking out and full of fear, that are getting on the internet and TV yelling at people, telling people they better keep tithing, look at this stuff and ask yourself, am I following the true Christ? And we're here for you. And Sheila and I, we've been online for years. This hasn't changed my ministry at all, people. I'm being honest with you. And I'm not taking this as an opportunity to boast or anything like that. Please understand my heart. But I am being honest with you, and I am telling you, this situation has not changed my ministry one iota. Because I've been living as one who is in the ecclesia. I've been ministering to people virtually. I've been going to other nations. I've been, you know, living this thing out as it's written in the scripture. I have not been dependent on the American dream, on the American way of life, on the American church system. So I'm not scurrying right now and, you know, going crazy. How do I keep my ministry alive? Those of us that have heard God earlier and have no longer been a part of that structure, this has not shaken our world. We just are continuing to preach the same message we've been preaching. The only difference is now the Lord, in his mercy and in his approval, while he's judging the world, is vindicating and confirming and affirming our message practically by bringing his judgment on the false whore through the world system. So I say to you people, seek the real Christ. Seek the real Holy Spirit. Seek the true apostolic doctrine, the true word of God. Get some oil in that lamp. Remember the virgins, the 10 virgins, the 5 had oil in their lamp. They were ready for the bridegroom. The other 5 were not ready, and they were begging the other 5 to give them some of their oil. They could not give them some of their oil, and they missed the bridegroom when he came. And I believe that there's still time, people. There's still time for those of you who have not to fill your lamp with the Holy Spirit oil, with the Word of God, with the true apostolic doctrine of the New Testament. And let go of this counterfeit. Let go of the counterfeit church. And let this be a complete separation for you, away from apostasy, away from heresy, away from Satan's counterfeit, and come into the true fellowship of the body of Christ. That's about the best that I can say. And get behind real ministries that are doing the real work of Christ. Get involved, people. It's exciting. I'm telling you, it's exciting when you're doing the real work of Christ and you're seeing God move. Stop crying out for Sodom and Gomorrah. Go read the story of Abraham. He was so concerned and he kept lowering the number. Lord, if there be 50 righteous. Lord, if there be 40, 30, 20. Lord, if there be 10 righteous, will you spare the city? The Lord said, I'll spare if there's 10. In the end, what happened? He had to pull Lot out by his neck. And even his wife didn't make it because she turned around because she loved the world so much. So those of you that are only looking for the temporary healing of America or whatever country you're in, the temporary calming of the circumstances, the temporary restoration of your normal, you're missing the mark. This is your opportunity to switch teams. Switch teams and get into the real ecclesia of Christ.
Well said, well said. We've been saying this stuff for a long time, over a decade. And, you know, it is time, as Danny said, to really ask God that tough question. Am I truly, truly a disciple of Jesus Christ? Such a profound message by Danny tonight, and very sobering, but, you know, very few people will really speak the truth about this subject. And very quickly, Danny, in the last part of the show, I want you to talk about how folks can join in on your Sunday group, and also how can people get behind your ministry and support the harvest in these other places where a lot of people can't get to, but, you know, Danny needs your support. So talk about both those things, please, Danny.
Yes, we're on, you can come through my Facebook page, God Is Not Religious Facebook page, and every week there's a link there. You'll see it. It's very big. It says Zoom. You can click onto that link and you can come right into the room. Also, we're running a Bible school through there. So we'd love you guys to come and be part of this Bible school and really learn this apostolic doctrine that I'm talking about. Come and be part of that. God Is Not Religious Facebook. You can also go to YouTube. Let's Talk God Is Not Religious on YouTube. It's called Let's Talk God Is Not Religious. But go through my Facebook page and through my YouTube channel. And folks, I want to make this trip in June. There are thousands upon thousands of souls hanging in the balance waiting for what's going to happen on that ministry trip. There are hundreds and hundreds of pastors waiting to be trained and imparted to. There are Bible schools that are waiting to be developed and started. I need your help. So if you would do that, I'd be so grateful. And you can give to me simply. You'll see the links on my Facebook page. But to give it to you real fast, paypal.me/God Is Not Religious. And you'll see that also on both YouTube and on the Facebook page. I would really appreciate your support. Come and get involved in the harvest.
Absolutely true. Danny, thank you so much for this very timely message, and I hope people do get involved and also join you in your Sunday night group. I think it's it's one of the best out there. So I really appreciate your time in coming on the program today, Danny.
Thank you, Sheila. I appreciate you so much. Thank you so much for all your support, both personally and also through your ministry all these years. You are a treasure. Thank you so much. God bless you.
Thank you, Danny. Folks, that was Dr. Danny Morano, God Is Not Religious on Facebook. The link is down in the description. Follow Danny's Facebook page and make sure that you get involved in that Sunday group. It's a great group, and Danny does tremendous teaching over there. And I'm asking you personally to please stand with Danny and these precious brothers in India where the fields are white. Like he said, get involved in the harvest, guys. Maybe you can't yourself this year get out to India personally, but you can be involved in winning souls. Guys, this is such tremendously huge work. It is all about salvation, healing, and deliverance. That is the Great Commission. Please, please give your most generous donation over there. I have got Danny's information linked in the description below as well. This is important work. Thank you so much. Make sure you are following me on Spreaker. Like I said, I think my YouTube days are numbered. So make sure you're following me on Spreaker. The information's up on your screen and it's linked below in the description. And hey, finally, if you have not checked out the show that I did over the weekend, make sure you go look for that. I hope it really encourages y'all. It's called Battle, War Against Corona Attack. So go have a look for that show. It's also there on Spreaker. I think you're really going to be blessed by that show. It's powerful prayer. And, you know, we know what the devil's working on right now, but I got news for the devil. The saints are the ones, in my opinion, who are going to really turn this around. You watch and see. We got to get in the game, guys. Praying and fasting. And very lastly, I hope you'll join us. Starting April 1st, we're on a Daniel fast for 21 days, and I hope you will join us. I know my SWAT prayer leadership and I are doing it. This is a call to action, folks, prayer and fasting. Please, will you join us in locking arms and fasting and really praying and seeking God in this time? It'll be a time of fasting, prayer, repentance, and really seeking God in this very, very critical juncture in our history, folks. Thanks for listening to the program today. We'll see you real soon. Good night, and God bless you.